if I forget to say it to you this evening, I want to make sure I do. Merry Christmas. What an amazing year it has been. I say amazing because, you believe it? It's December 2021 and God has brought us here safely. Some of us with all working limbs, some of us still a little challenged, but we're here. Tonight we are completing that four-part series, The King Has Come. And so I'd like to invite you, if you are able to stand and join me for the reading of Scripture. I'll be coming from Mark chapter 1, and if you're using the Red Bibles, it's page 994. So we'll be coming from Mark chapter 1, and just simply reading two verses, 14 and 15. So Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that, again, you would grant us great clarity of thought and speech. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts and wills to obey you, all to the end that you are glorified. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. On the back of the little one-sheet program you have is an area for you to take notes if you so desire. And what you'll see there is that the key point of this simple text is Jesus came to point people to himself. He came to point people to himself. He is the only one who can rightfully be self-centered and glorify God. The points are going to be taken directly out of the text as you see there. In the first message of this four-part series, we saw that the king has come to fulfill Scripture. In the second message, we saw that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners to ensure we see him eyeball to eyeball one day. In the third message, we saw that the king has come to change our identity from Satan's children by making us full-fledged sons of God. And finally, in this message, we will see that the king came preaching. That's the title of this message, The King Came Preaching. So again, using the actual text as the points of this message, we see the first point that Mark writes. Now after John was arrested. See, God had fulfilled his purpose for John the Baptist. His role as the forerunner to the king was finished, for Mark chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 records, "As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Although people throughout Judea and Jerusalem were going out to John and were being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins, John wanted to make sure people did not confuse him with the one God was sending to save his people from their sins. For of Jesus, John preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Indeed, the Apostle John records John the Baptist saying, when he saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.'" John's God-given mission to prepare the way of the Lord, to make his path straight, to get people ready for the first coming of the king, to break up the hardened clay of people's hearts, to prepare people for the arrival of Jesus, his mission was finished. for John the Baptist had been arrested. Mark then records, Jesus came into Galilee. When we read Mark chapter 1, verse 9, that in those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan, we are reminded that Jesus is from the region of Galilee. Thus, the phrase Jesus came into Galilee refers to after God removed the possibility of his people confusing John the Baptist with the Son, the king simply came to his people. God came to be with us. Mark tells us that he came proclaiming the gospel of God and saying. These participles or explaining words, proclaiming and saying, indicate that this was Jesus's continuous practice. He continuously preached the gospel of God, the good news that belongs to God. Jesus came to make it known to his people for the express purpose of saving us from our sins. We know this is true because an angel of the Lord told Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, that Mary will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. These two participles also indicate that the content of the gospel of God that Jesus continuously preached was verse 15. Mark breaks down this message for us in three parts. He writes, the time is fulfilled. We know from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. We know from that passage in verse 15 that the time refers to a time set by God the Father. And the way Jesus phrases this statement, it indicates a completed action. The time had finally come for God's people to receive the good news they'd been eagerly waiting to hear. For Mark records our Lord and Savior, our King, saying, "And the kingdom of God is at hand." This literal translation of the phrase "is at hand" is "has come near." And it also indicates a completed action. The kingdom of God has come near. Still, the phrase "is at hand" captures the essence and intended impact Jesus wants us to see here. For while the literal translation shows us that the kingdom of God has drawn near to us, the essence of its drawing near is to have continual effect in our everyday lives in each and every circumstances. God created us, and he knows that left to our own devices, we will go astray from his intended, gloriously beneficial best for us. You see, we were created by God for God. We were created to follow him. We know God had this in mind, for he inspired Mark to write verses 16 and 20 immediately following these verses. Thus, we understand the kingdom of God to refer to God's continual rule and reign in our hearts over all of our life. Certainly, the saddest state of existence is living under our own rule and reign. An existence where we determine what is right and what is wrong. An existence based upon our own limited knowledge. Regardless of how long we've walked this earth, regardless of our limited experience over the course of our lifetime, we still desire to set the parameters of how we live out the circumstances of our lives. We set ourselves up as the monarchs of our own finite kingdoms, and whether we admit it or not, we find ourselves severely lacking the capacity to rule well. We find that it's not easy being king or queen. Here's a challenge to everybody. I challenge us, I'm included in this challenge, to stand up and say with all certainty what is going to happen in the universe 10 minutes from now. I say 10 minutes to give us a chance to ask Siri, to Google, or to use any other search engine for help. And when we do this, let's not forget to include the precise movement of every leaf on every tree on planet Earth. Let's not forget the flight pattern of every flying animal and insect, the swim pattern of every sea creature at every depth of every body of water, the tumbling direction of every grain of sand on this entire planet. And then let's not forget the whereabouts of every hair follicle of every elder on this church who is follically challenged. I think we get the picture, right? Family, if you didn't know already, let me tell you that living under our own rule and reign is both intoxicating and futile. It's intoxicating because we get to run our own little kingdoms. We get to be in charge. But ruling our own kingdom is also futile because we're finite, limited creatures, and we don't know what's going to happen in the future. Moreover, we lack the power in and of ourselves to affect eternal change in our lives and in the lives of others. And only by God's grace can we tell which of these two kingdoms we're experiencing at any given time, whether we're experiencing the intoxicating aspect or the futile aspect. And we don't know what to do about these experiences apart from the grace of God. Both of these experiences are bad news, right? Okay, there's a couple of people who agree with me. But it is bad news. It is. But thanks be to God, there's some good news, right? Because our king came preaching that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Therefore, repent and believe in the gospel. Family, when you look at the text, there's a semicolon right after the kingdom of God is at hand. And the reason it is there is because Jesus, by grace, is both telling us that we're living in an intoxicating or futile little kingdom, and he's telling us what to do with our little kingdoms. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, the way Jesus phrases both of these commands is that we are to continuously repent and continuously believe in the gospel. Yes, we do this by grace alone at the beginning of salvation, turning from trusting in ourselves to pay our sin debt to God and turning to Jesus, trusting in him alone, his death, his burial, his resurrection as payment for our sins. For when we do this, God saves us and God keeps us saved. Thus, Jesus' command to continuously repent and to continuously believe in the gospel indicates our proneness to continuously erect our own little kingdoms. Our Heavenly Father does not want us to live in the intoxicating futility of our own kingdom. It's bad for our souls. In the Old Testament, he promised us a king, his son, Jesus Christ, who would deliver us from such an eternally devastating existence. And the king came to fulfill Scripture. The King Christ Jesus came into the world to save repentant sinners, to ensure we see him eyeball to eyeball one day. The King has come to change our identity from Satan's children by making us full-fledged sons of God. And the King came preaching, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Keep turning away from trusting in ourselves and keep turning to trust in Jesus Christ. You know why? Only one of y'all want to know why? Well, I'm going to tell everybody. Jesus is the gospel of God. Jesus is the good news of God. We have a worthy, trustworthy king to follow and to depend on. And this is why, family, we can wholeheartedly modify that true cliche that Jesus is the reason for every season. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm done. I know you're surprised. But guess what? We do have some application points. God wants us to do something in response to this short text. You ready? All right, I see some people are ready. Got your pens ready? I'll wait. Here we go. First one. Keep repenting. Let's keep turning away from defining and running our own lives. Two, keep believing in the gospel. Let's keep trusting in Jesus and his sufficiency for all of life. And finally, let's keep pointing people to Jesus. See, over in John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." Family, Jesus came with a message given to him by God the Father to proclaim. He came to point people to himself. He gave us the same message to point people to him. That's why he came. You notice over there in Mark chapter 1, verse 38, he said to them, to his disciples, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." Family, let us do the same. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. Most importantly, we are grateful for Jesus. We don't have to stay lost. We don't have to keep erecting our own little kingdoms, trying to run our lives. Yeah, sometimes things seem to work out based upon our own little finite plans. But in the big scheme of things, God, they don't. Because you created us to be in relationship with you. You didn't create us to have life our way. We're creatures, not the creator. You are. God, we separated ourselves from you. When we chose to disobey you, we've sinned. We're sinners. But you're so rich in mercy that you sent Jesus to be our Savior. And he came. He came to die, and he did. But he's not dead now. He is alive, and he lives forever to make intercession for all those who are his. All we have to do is repent, turn from trusting in ourselves, and turn to Jesus. Place our trust in him, his death, his burial, his resurrection as payment for our sins. And you promise to save us, to make us yours. So as we celebrate on this Christmas season, God, we celebrate you, Jesus. We celebrate all that you have come to do to bring glory to your name, and namely, that is to make us yours. So be glorified tonight, God. We bless and honor your name. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.